Ryan Callahan joins us. He is with Go Vols 24/7 at Ryan Callahan 24/7. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. I know what they're doing over there with this offensive coordinator. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they've got him hired. They know exactly who it is. But for where he's at and for where they are now, they're going to wait till after Wednesday and announce it, because anything you might announce now might upset an apple cart at two different schools. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's a possibility. I mean, look, we can't rule out anything. What I will say is this. I don't have any reason to think that Tennessee has had a hire in place for 5 or 6 days already, and they're still waiting to make that move. Now, maybe they know which direction they're going. But there's been movement recently enough that I don't think they've just been sitting on a hire that they were waiting to announce after the early signing period or after a season finishes or anything like that. Now, that may be the direction they're headed now, and that may be the reason that we pretty much have heard that it's going to now happen sometime after the early signing period. But we can't say for sure which direction they're going or what that means. But like you said, it would make some sense that if it's an assistant coach who's out of school right now, where he's loyal to his school, doesn't want to rip apart their recruiting class or risk doing that at the last minute, that would make sense for a delay. If it's someone who needs to finish up a season, whether that's college or in the NFL, you know, that's a possibility. So all those are on the table, but the problem now is we just don't know. There aren't many names out there that we know for sure are involved in this. So we kind of know more about what is not happening in this search than we know about what is happening, because it's been kept so quiet the past week.
I thought it was funny. Somebody put up the other day and said, you know, this is a no-brainer. The offensive coordinator is already on campus, and they named, you know, his record as offensive coordinator and said he became a great head coach, and it was Fulmer. That was the joke, is that it was there. And, you know, Fulmer would love to name himself offensive coordinator on this football team.
Yeah, that's not happening. But it's, yes, it's a fun joke. But, no, I mean, I think they're – it's been a complicated search, I'm sure, from the beginning. But I think what you're seeing now is, you know, Tennessee is trying to. It's just been kept so quiet that everyone's guessing. And I think Jeremy Pruitt, you know, word got out about the three guys they talked about a week ago, and I don't think they liked that very much. So I think they've done their best to keep their next steps kind of quiet, and we'll see what comes out next. You know, eventually something will leak out, I'm sure, about which direction they might be headed. But clearly there's a delay at this point, whether that's because they've had to pivot in the search at some point, or whether that's because they, like you said, they're hiring someone who is out of school and can't leave just yet, or doesn't want to, and to get the right guy, they need to wait. So whatever the case, we'll find out soon. But in the meantime, Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer and only a couple of others really know what's going on, and they're not really saying anything right now.
This Russ Probst guy, you know, the Hoover, Alabama, the MTV, the whatever back in the day, mm-hmm. is he a legit candidate? Have you heard that?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I think what I think is Jeremy Pruitt is obviously very close to Russ Probst. He owes him a lot for kind of getting his start in the coaching business, giving him a chance at Hoover High School, and he's now at Colquitt County High School down in South Georgia, where he produced J.J. Peterson, the Tennessee freshman linebacker. So they're close. They have a good relationship. And it's probably not a coincidence that last year Rush Probst's name came up as even a support staff or assistant coach candidate when Jeremy Pruitt was putting his staff together. I think you're going to hear that name come up almost any time he needs an offensive assistant. And probably as just a way to keep his name out there as much as anything. I think, you know, that's just kind of a something you want to continue to do to give that guy the credit. But, you know, people will always mention him as a candidate because they have such a good relationship. But ultimately, will Tennessee go that direction? I would be very surprised if he's Tennessee's offensive coordinator.
You know, you were talking a little bit earlier, Ryan, just about how to stop any leak coming out of that building or about who it might be or whatever. They want that, you know, they want that stuffed out. But they also have to realize that there are two points of coverages on that, obviously from the UT perspective. But where that guy is right now, if it's mm-hmm. at a Power 5 or wherever it is, there are media covering that beat as well. And, sure. And I would dare say a lot of times that information comes out from that end, although the candidate doesn't want to harm his candidacy, but inevitably that circle, well, tells Joe, who tells beat writer who runs it. So, you know how that works.
Oh yeah, and there are multiple ways it can get out. You know, agents talk. I mean, there are lots of things that can happen during these searches that make it really hard to keep things tight. And that's why, you know, I'll give Jeremy Pruitt a lot of credit. I don't think he has kept a very large group of people in his circle on this. I don't think most of his staff has any idea which direction he's headed. It sounds like John Lilly, the former Georgia assistant, who's an off-field member of his staff, still heavily involved in day-to-day operations. He's been on most of the interviews with him that we're aware of, and you know he's obviously been in the loop. Philip Fulmer's in the loop. Beyond that, I don't know who all really knows what's going on. So I think they've kept a very tight circle on this, and you've had a lot of people sort of just guessing at what's happening, and that's why I think there's been so much misdirection from the Hugh Freeze stuff early on to just people not really knowing what to make of the silence this week. So that's where I think things are, and maybe they do know where they're headed right now. But the one thing we do know is. It's going to be at least several more days before we hear anything for sure.
Ryan, how does it set up for Wednesday? The Vols look to be get a pretty good recruiting class on this early signing date?
They have a solid class right now. They obviously, Wednesday won't be the end, but it will be the end for a lot of prospects. Last year, we saw about 65% of all players nationally signed during the early signing period, and that was the first year for it. About 80% of all players who were committed at the time signed during the early signing period, and that will be the case for Tennessee. They'll sign most of their commitments, but they've still got a lot of targets on the board that remain uncertain. That they're hosting some visitors this weekend that could be possibilities. There's still guys that are visiting other schools or who've already taken all their visits who remain possibilities. So there's still a lot to be determined in 5 days. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Some guys who are even still on the fence about whether they want to sign in December or February. That's a lot of what goes into this early signing period. Is do some guys who've been planning to sign in December all along wait because they're not early enrollees, not planning to enroll in January? And do some guys who've been planning all along to sign in February go ahead and sign in December? That's one of the things that will go a long way toward determining how this class looks for Tennessee on Wednesday. But I think they are in good position to finish with a few big names between now and February. We'll see how many of them sign with Tennessee on Wednesday, but four-star running back Eric Gray from Memphis, the former Michigan commitment, still looks like a good possibility for Tennessee. They're still in good shape for five-star offensive tackle Darnell Wright, regardless of whether he signs next week or in February. And there's at least maybe a sliver of hope that he could do that next week, but we'll see. A lot to be decided, but they're in position to have a good chance to finish strong, and we'll just see how these next visits go and what happens with some of these guys down the stretch.
Ryan Callahan, he is the recruiting editor at GoVols247.com, on Twitter at RyanCallahan247. We haven't talked to you since the win last Saturday over Gonzaga, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We've really sort of, dissected what happened last Saturday, especially the half where the Admiral Schofield had, 25 of the 30, and banked one three, but then hit another true three to really win it. But moving to tomorrow, I love the fact this game is being played. I know that John Calipari and Bruce Pearl understood it and how big it could be in this state. I like that Penny Hardaway and Rick Barnes are saying, hey, let's play this thing. I know it sort of got away from Konzo Martin, and maybe it was more Josh Pastner not wanting to play it. But, and quite frankly, Penny Hardaway is going to be going after a lot of different kind of players than Tennessee, because Penny is going to set up the one-and-done formula there. That's what he wants. But I love this game being played. I think it's good for the state.
Absolutely. I think you got to love this if you're a college basketball fan in the state of Tennessee. I don't know any Memphis fans or Tennessee fans who don't love seeing this game being played. It was obviously at its best when Bruce Pearl and John Calipari were going at it years ago, and they had a lot of fun with it. They went head-to-head in recruiting. Coach Cal had sort of a chip on his shoulder about Tennessee and all the attention they would get in state, wanted to keep Tennessee out of his backyard. So that, he let it be known that he hated the game being played, didn't want to see it happen because he didn't want to give Tennessee a chance to get some inroads into recruiting in Memphis. So especially when he was playing it against his will. There was some pretty nice rivalry there for a few years. So I don't know if it'll quite match the level, if it'll ever match the level where they had the 1-versus-2 matchup in Memphis. That's one of the most hyped basketball games I've seen, obviously probably in the state's history in college basketball. But it's still great to see it played. And like you said, with where Memphis appears to be headed with Penny Hardaway, if they keep this going, it could be a lot of fun over the next several years if Tennessee keeps this up under Rick Barnes. So this won't be the most hyped one nationally because Memphis isn't quite back at the level it expects to be, but I hope they keep playing this game because it's been a lot of fun when both of these teams have it going.
All right, going back to recruiting on Wednesday, what's your for you? Do you monitor? How do you go about that? How do you cover that day, I should say?
Yeah. with a lot of coffee and not much sleep. There's a lot going on, and that a lot will be determined. We'll know more by Sunday or Monday how this is going, but you may see a lot of kids announcing decisions on Wednesday. That you've got to just kind of monitor a bunch of different things all in the span of a few hours that will determine how that day goes for Tennessee. It's not quite as bad as it once was because having it broken up into the February signing day and this early signing period allows you to focus on a little bit smaller group of kids in some cases. But it does now with this early signing period pushing things up for some kids. This does have to feel a little bit of the traditional rush that you used to have leading up to sign day in February, where all the activity used to happen in January and February. You didn't have many early commitments years ago, and now there's less drama, it seems, down the stretch. Well, this has opened up more drama down the stretch because it's compressed the recruiting calendar for everybody, so now there is a lot to follow, and yeah, you just have to keep your ear to the ground in as many places as possible. Following kids' announcements on Twitter and, you know, live video. There will be some nationally televised announcements and things like that. There will be a lot to cover, and you got to do everything you can to keep tabs on it. And we'll see. We'll know in the next few days how much we'll have to watch that day. But definitely, I think there could be several announcements where Tennessee is at least involved and has a chance.
I talked to a college coach yesterday, Ryan, and said, you know, that Wednesday, it's a lot of colleges, not Power Five, will be like sharks because if Tennessee hits their allotment and there's one or two guys that didn't get in, these other colleges swoop in and get them. So it's a busy day from the top to the bottom because a lot of these kids say, well, I'll wait till February. Well, these slots are gone, and then the school swoops in and gets them. It's a feeding frenzy, I think, on Wednesday for all the schools.
It absolutely is. And one of the things I think you've got to watch with this early signing period too, yeah, there's some examples of this locally where I think some guys – Noah Henderson is one that comes to mind at CPA, the wide receiver. I think he's a really good player that's going to end up somewhere pretty good because he's going to wait and sign in the February signing period. So you've got some guys that maybe they're committed to a smaller school right now, and something happens this weekend and a bigger school misses out on somebody and finds out they're not getting a top target. Maybe they hand out an offer to a kid in the next few days that convinces him to wait and sign in February. So you see that a lot where guys wait past this early signing period, and their stock rises. They get more offers simply because they're on the market still, and a lot of players aren't. So, part of this, if you're a small school trying to hold on to or a non-Power 5 school, whatever the case may be, trying to hold on to a kid that you think is really good and you're getting a steal, you're really nervous over these next few days because you want to make sure no one swoops in at the last minute and changes his mind about signing in December, because if you don't get him in December, it's really hard to hold on to him until February if you have somebody that you think is a kind of an under-the-radar gem. So it's a really interesting next few days, but if you're a coach at any level, you're probably nervous about a lot going into these last 5 days because there's so much to be determined.
Kudos to you bringing up Noah Henderson. That guy is an outstanding receiver. The fact he does not have a Power 5 offer is mind-boggling.
Same to me. I've seen him since the spring and said, how is this kid not getting some ACC, SEC somewhere, someone really close to offering at least? I'm surprised that he went out to Cal and Stanford at different times and got some interest there, and hasn't come together yet. But I think waiting around until February will help him, and I would be surprised if in the end he doesn't get a chance to play at a Power 5 school somewhere. I think he's a good football player.
Ryan Callahan on Twitter at RyanCallahan247, GoVols247.com. Thank you, Ryan. Enjoy your vacation next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.